Chat with the Wait What podcast. How are we all doing, guys?
Yeah, man. Hold on.
He couldn't have waited until I finished my drink.
No. He no. Cheers. <It's> just...
That's to come.
Drink now, Dave. And now Dave is going to show us his rendition of One Man, Four Glasses. This podcast is not sponsored by Budweiser, nor is it sponsored by Pepsi.
No.
But if you wish to sponsor us, look below.
We have been on the go on the main episode.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that on there? Did you hear that? Mate, my neck just made the vile sound.
Anyway, everyone do the things that are down below.
Yeah,
subscribe, like.
I don't want
to enjoy the Wait What podcast.
That's what I want to do.
If you're watching this on the YouTube, give us a like, give us a comment. But if you clicked on this, you're probably a wrestling fan. So
let's
do this. It's the third part of my long running series. Not going to lie, this is coming a little bit out of the blue to me, so I didn't research what I left off on last time. So I'm just going to talk about one of the craziest, like, big things that happened in the world of independent territory wrestling that could have happened, basically. And it's already in one of the territories I've already talked about as well, which was Memphis from the first episode. Please check that out. That was some crazy shit. There's some eye gouging and some
hit. It's got a great title as well, by the way. It's got a fantastic title. I don't know who came up with that. Fucking fantastic, mate. Great.
Some great work for there from Liam, if you couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Was it a Memphis one, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. So you will want to find the episode that is called Headlocks, Eye Gouging, and Hit and Run, Tales of Memphis Wrestling. So fucking good. I am fucking good. I'm great.
I don't remember talking about headlocks.
What's that wrestling? What's your point? Hit and Run was rough, though. I remember watching that video. That was rough.
Yeah, rough.
Funny enough, it involves Jerry Lawler.
It does. And that's who this fantastic. Thanks for that. So this is the story. This is the story of Andy Kaufman. Andy Kaufman, who has been a mythical figure in the world of comedy. He was really famous in a TV show in the US called Taxi, where he played a quirky character in that.
Taxi. Talking to me.
Nope. That's Taxi Driver.
That's crazy Taxi.
Yeah. I'm five deep, so I might be wrong on some stuff. But he was basically the biggest TV star on the biggest TV show in America in the 70s. People were obviously didn't have as much options on TV as they did do now. So they got huge ratings and everyone around the country knew who Andy Kaufman was. Andy Kaufman himself was a massive wrestling fan from a kid. He was a huge fan of Buddy Rogers, which is not typical because Buddy Rogers was playing a heel. And Andy Kaufman kind of worked out as a kid what the secret is that Buddy Rogers was trying to get people to hate him. So that was the thing. And so when he actually was famous and had made a lot of money from Taxi, and he would play a lot of comedy gigs and nightclubs and such, he started doing his own little act, which was, imagine this, in nightclubs, he would wrestle women.
Oh,
kinky.
So he would actually have a referee, and he would play a wrestling heel, basically, saying
Bryce Remsburg?
It was he'd hire a referee and he would declare himself the intergender wrestling champion and would offer $1,000 to any woman that could beat him in that said club or comedy gig or anything like that. And
did he have plants in the crowd? Was it a work?
No, it was legit. The women would actually go in and think they would do it. And he would cut heel promos about women being in the kitchen, washing carrots, raising babies, scrubbing floors to rile the real crowds there into
washing
having
carrots
a woman come
in. Wild carrots is it's a very specific insult. You gotta wash them damn carrots, woman.
Exactly.
If someone said to me, "Why don't you shut up and go and wash the carrots?" I'd probably get up. What the fuck you? Fuck you! I ain't gonna wash no damn carrots.
Exactly, and that's the kind of like joy of being like a wrestling
heel.
That's
definitely going in my repertoire now. That is going in my repertoire.
That you can say something so
stupid
and make it sound offensive,
carrots, boy.
Exactly. Basically Andy Coffin was doing this as part of his act. His act was very much anti-humor kind of thing, you know, like things that would make people feel awkward laughing, and that was his style. He approached Vince McMahon Sr. about working for him. He wanted to work in front of wrestling fans because even though he was getting kind of the reaction he wanted, he realized that the heel shtick would work better on wrestling fans. So he approached Vince Sr. because obviously he was a WWF fan from
the 70s.
Yeah. He approached Vince McMahon, wanted to do this in front of wrestling fans, and Vince McMahon was hesitant to allow a Hollywood actor to work with his wrestlers. So he declined him. He said, "No, you can't do your act here." Even though he was the biggest TV star in the country at the time. So Bill Apter, who is a wrestling journalist, apparently overheard this conversation. I doubt he did, because unless he was a fan of Andy Coffin, he may have been standing next to him, in which case he didn't overhear it. He was there in the discussion. But I imagine
overhearing it is like, I was standing in the hallway doing something else when I just happened to hear the end of this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I doubt Bill Apter kind of overheard it. I imagine Andy Coffin probably came up to Bill Apter and was frustrated about the fact that he couldn't do this. And Bill Apter basically suggested that he call Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett of Memphis Championship Wrestling, who were known as doing crazy things like running over people in a car on TV.
On TV, yeah.
Indeed. So Andy calls Jerry Jarrett, and Jerry Jarrett is skeptical. He doesn't know what to do, well, about if Andy's legit or anything like that. So he basically gave it to Jerry Lawler to do. And Jerry Lawler kind of looked at this actor who was the number one show in all of America and just thought, like, how can I make money from this guy? You know, like, he's obviously got that mainstream popularity. There's got to be something I could do. So they worked out a story where they started playing videos on Memphis television of Andy Coffin cutting heel promos on the people of Memphis being hicks and uneducated, and that they didn't know how to use soap, or they didn't even know how to pronounce the word soap.
The usual spiel that you would get from someone insulting a town or...
Yeah. But this played on TV.
Excuse me while I just plug myself in. Apologies.
But
there we go.
this was just playing clips in between all the wrestling and stuff.
Yeah.
Mitchell, are you looking up Andy Coffin?
No.
You're doing something else, yeah? Yeah. No worries, man. Yeah, no worries.
He's not interested.
That's fine.
He's like, yeah,
it's
you
fine.
Keep talking. You keep talking.
Yeah, bruv. It's cool. Let's see if you get interested by this. So obviously, these vignettes, I suppose they'd be called now, have been playing on Memphis television. And eventually, Andy Coffin, he shows up at the Mid-South Coliseum. And he offers the same thing, $1,000 to any woman that could beat him in the ring. Again, there was no plans. It was no plants. It was all legit. And Andy basically knew enough wrestling that he could make sure that he would not get pinned. And obviously, the whole thing was obviously kind of a work, so the ref was in it as well to make sure Andy was never in a position that he could get pinned. But he knew enough to, like, get the woman down so they could pin her properly, and then that was it. Yeah. And he did it the first time, and he got a huge reaction, because obviously he's being such a dick, and he's beating women, and he's declaring himself the champion, and no one got the money. And it worked so well the first week that Jerry... Jarrett and Jerry Lawler both said, yeah, come back next week and do it again. So they did it a couple of weeks, and again, it kept doing on. But obviously, it has to build to something. And this is where he'd done it for about four weeks. He had to beat, did do it for four weeks. He did a vignette where he was going to beat four women. He was going to do it in a row. So he was obviously chirping about how great he is. He's going to beat four women in a row. The final woman was a woman called Foxy, who was actually wrestling trained. She was trained as a wrestler. So what they did is that she got a slam on Andy Kaufman, which obviously got a huge pop from the crowd because they didn't know she was a wrestler. They don't know anything about her. That's what I mean. That's why I say the fourth woman was a plant who was trained as a wrestler to do a slam on Andy Kaufman, and the place was just huge. She nearly ripped him out of his pants as well, just to give him a little bit of humiliation. But Andy Kaufman still wore her out and got the pin. So the money still stayed with Andy Kaufman to get the pin. Jerry Lawler then comes in and says, this woman does so well that we're going to do the match again next week. And Andy Kaufman says he will pay $5,000 if she beats him, and he will allow her to marry him. That is, again, fantastic.
I mean, that's one way of getting married, I suppose.
Jerry Lawler said that this stipulation was come up with on the spot. They only said the money increase. He said the marriage proposal as a little thing for Andy Kaufman. They went into business for himself on, which is fantastic.
So basically, Andy Kaufman crawled so that Logan Paul could strut.
Oh, 100%.
This is what it sounds like. He is the catalyst.
Yeah, Andy Kaufman is like the beginning of like what would evolve celebrities in wrestling. And yeah,
to Kevin Federline to Machine Gun Kelly, to Machine Gun Kelly getting powerbombed at the stage,
to Shaq. Going through a table.
I love Shaq, but yeah, Shaq. And then we were blessed with Bad Bunny, who was fantastic, and Logan Paul, who is just annoyingly good at it. All thanks to Andy Kaufman. Madness.
So the return match happens. Foxy cuts her own little promo to Joe Lawler, basically he's just saying that she wouldn't marry Andy if he was the last man on earth. And it looked like that Foxy was going to win again, but because she got an early takedown, but she blows up, she gets tired. Andy then actually beats the crap out of her, kind of thing, a little bit. Goes a little bit harsh with it. And after Andy gets the win, he attacks her after the match as well.
So, real heat.
Yeah. So that's when Jerry Lawler comes in and pulls him off. That's when Jerry Lawler comes in and
What?
Yeah. That's where Jerry Lawler comes in and physically grabs Andy Kaufman and pulls him away from Foxy. And this is what makes Andy Kaufman start to go ballistic. He starts to go crazy because he says that he's only there as the intergender champion to wrestle women. So a man can't come in and touch him. He will sue them. He will sue everyone. And that's where he's getting more heat. Just saying, he will sue Lawler. He will sue Memphis Championship Wrestling. This place will never run shows again. I'm a big man from New York. He's going proper crazy on it. And he's trying to sue everyone in the building. He literally was pointing at people going, I will sue you. I will sue you. It's fantastic, fantastic heat.
Is there video evidence of this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's video
evidence. I want to see if I can find it because I want to see this. It sounds great.
Yeah.
I've known a little bit about this, but I've never actually physically seen it, so I'd like to watch it.
Yeah. So, basically, to keep the story going, Andy Kaufman is not on Memphis TV. He's being represented by a lawyer.
Is it Smart Mark Sterling?
No, but this guy's called Bob Zamuda.
Oh, what
and Lawler basically challenges Kaufman to a match, And Andy sends in more videos, including one where he apparently beats up a woman so bad that his lawyer turns on him. And Andy tells him it doesn't matter because she is poor and can't sue.
double turn, that is.
Yep, yep. So, yeah, but basically, they eventually get to the point where Andy agrees to have the match with Lawler. They drew 11,000 people in the crowd, which is huge.
That's huge plus, for them, yeah.
Huge. Considering All In was a massive deal because of it being over 10,000 people. So basically, the match happens. Kaufman and Jerry Lawler is obviously not going to be like a classic wrestling match.
Yeah, it's not going to be a barn burner, really, is it?
No, Kaufman is spending most of the time just trying to run away from Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler's selling it, obviously, love the time wasting and the stalling and everything. But the crowd gets what they want to see. Lawler hits a suplex on Kaufman, which got a huge reaction. And then pretty much immediately afterwards, Lawler hits Kaufman with a pile driver. And the winner is Andy Kaufman. Because at the time, the pile driver was a banned move in Tennessee.
Banned move, yeah.
Yes.
It was banned move now, really.
Yeah.
Banned move in a lot of places. Only a certain amount of people can do it. Unless it's a Canadian destroyer, then every fucking country doing it.
Yeah. But the crowd doesn't care because they just saw Andy Kaufman just get power driven. Like, they don't care that Jerry Lawler lost the match. That's irrelevant. Like, Jerry Lawler just put fits in pain. And so much so that Jerry Lawler gives him another pile driver, an even better looking pile driver. I think he even jumps and like makes it look even
Jerry better. Lawler knew how to do a pile driver.
Oh, he safest
safe one of the safest. Who would you say has got a safer pile driver? Jerry Lawler or Undertaker? Who's his safer, do you reckon? Because Undertaker was notoriously known for being incredibly safe.
I think Jerry Lawler's is naturally safer because obviously the way you're landing, your head is going forward if you're tucking your chin. Whereas the Tombstone Power Driver, you've got your face in the other way, so you've obviously got
dick in
you
the
tuck your chin
shit.
For you tuck your chin for everything, and this is
Styles Clash.
Thank you.
Or you do tuck your chin when you do a Styles Clash and you fucking nearly break your neck.
Yeah.
Looking at you, James Ellsworth. I'm looking at you.
So, Andy Kaufman has been power driven two times, but he's won the match. And basically, he sells this like he's dead, pretty much, and literally like he's dead. The plan wasn't for anything to happen after this. He was supposed to be just like kind of pulled.
One and done, really, isn't it?
Yeah, he was kind of supposed to roll away, holding his head, and then just sell it and go. But Kaufman didn't want to accept that. He actually tells Jerry Lawler that he wants an ambulance. He wants to go on the stretcher and actually go. And Lawler says he doesn't want to do that because it will cost $300. Obviously, he doesn't tell this to him personally. The ref has come over to Lawler and says Kaufman wants an ambulance. And Lawler says, no, I won't get, like, it costs $300. I'm not going to pay for the ambulance. And then the ref goes back, relays to Mr. Kaufman. The ref goes back to Lawler and says, Kaufman says he'll pay for the ambulance. So, the crowd and Jerry Lawler all waited, I think, for quite a while, because there was a real ambulance that actually came in and everything to take Lawler off the mat and go for the floor and go to the hospital. And it took 30 minutes for the ambulance to get there. They took him to the local hospital. The whole thing was covered on the news. Andy was in hospital for 3 days.
It's a work there was nothing, and a half.
Nothing
it's a work wrong with and it. A half.
How he managed to convince the doctor to keep him in hospital, even though his neck and everything was all fine, they'd have done x-rays and shit like that. Unless, like, he literally told him from the start, it's all work, but I need to stay here for 3 days. Obviously, he's Andy Kaufman. He's, like, a huge actor and stuff. But how he managed to convince
him... This is how much we're going to give you. Keep it quiet.
Yeah, exactly. It must have been money. That's all I can say. It must have been money.
God, money buys silence, mate.
Yeah. And the best thing is that all this time, obviously, if you couldn't guess by now, Andy Kaufman is working with Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett kind of thing. Everyone knows it's a work. Everyone's been planning out the story. Andy Kaufman has been very respectful to Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett. He's calling him Jerry Lawler, Mr. Lawler, not Jerry, which Jerry is insisting he does, but he always says Mr. Lawler. Like, the whole thing's a work. Like, but people in the wrestling industry are thinking it's real. Because Andy Kaufman has been so convincing in his vignettes and telling people about how much they are hicks and how wrestling fans are stupid and stuff like that, that when he goes into the wrestling ring and Jerry Lawler pile drives him two times, Bill Watts from Mid-South Wrestling, which I mentioned in the second episode, actually calls Jerry Jarrett to let him know how proud he is that they are in the same business. He thought it was legit and that Kaufman deserved to have his neck broken. So even Bill Watts was a
There's a reason that he was like considered one of the best actors at the time.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah. So Andy Kaufman sold it for months afterwards. He paid for the ambulance and the hospital bills. He wanted to wear a neck brace while he filmed Taxi as well. But the people in Taxi actually threatened to write him off the show if he didn't like comply with them not wearing the neck brace. Tony Danza wanted to know what the deal was, who's his co-star on Taxi, and if he wanted to him to go, Andy Kaufman, if he wants him to go kick Jerry Lawler's ass. And that, so Andy Kaufman told Jerry Lawler that Tony Danza was a boxer and he didn't want to let him know that they were working an angle. And Lawler said, basically, bring him to Memphis, and if Danza thought it was real, they could really fight him, and they could agree, they could really fight him and make some money from it. That's
I reckon Lawler could scrap back in the day. I reckon he could scrap.
Yeah. Well, they decided against it in the end of the day. So all that has happened. Andy Kaufman is away from Memphis TV. And what happens next is pretty damn incredible. So you guys remember the David Letterman show?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So David Letterman show was quite new. Back in the 70s, he just pretty much made it onto primetime Saturday night viewing. Well, I think it was Saturday night. I don't know.
Friday night, Saturday night, something like that.
Yeah, I know. That sometimes they run every night kind of thing.
It was primetime viewing either way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He was on primetime. And Andy Kaufman calls Jerry Lawler and basically says, do you want to be on David Letterman? And of course, Jerry Lawler's like, hell yes. Of course I want to be on David Letterman. So Andy had the idea of Lawler punching Andy Kaufman on David Letterman, but Jerry basically told him, no, we're not going to get away with that. The show is taped, and police would arrest Jerry. And so they thought, nah, that's probably the best to leave that. So they get to the David Letterman show, and David Letterman producers think is going to happen is that Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman are going to go onto the show. They're going to squash whatever beef they've got. And it's going to end with them all kind of singing what the world needs now is love, sweet love. You know what? The song by Burt Bacharach. What sings in Austin Powers.
World now.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Burt Bacharach.
Exactly. That's what this segment was pretty much going to be. That's what the segment was going to be. Andy Kaufman doesn't really like this idea. He doesn't like that they're going to just sweep it under the rug and make up. He wants the
doesn't work
carry
for
on.
Me, brother.
He wants to carry on. So he again goes to Jerry Lawler and says, "Can you hit me on David Letterman?" And Lawler's again like, "No, I'm not going to do that. It's just not going to happen." Go on to the David Letterman show, and it gets a little bit off the rails to begin with. They're not squashing the beef. They're very obviously still like calling each other names. Lawler calls Andy a wimp. Andy again threatens to sue.
Wearing the neck brace as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's wearing the neck brace. He goes,
yeah.
Yeah. Andy says he's going to sue, but he didn't want to do it because he's not that kind of guy. Lawler's like, what kind of guy are you? And Lawler basically figures that the segment was over and they didn't really have anything to do. And so he stood up and he slaps Andy Kaufman's right in the mouth. And Andy Kaufman sells it, falls off the chair. And yeah, this happened just before the break of it happening. Yeah. Andy sells the sap, and the security off ushers like Jerry Lawler off the stage to the green room. You can hear people kind of like crying and like screaming when Jerry Lawler slaps Andy Kaufman on the show. The commercial break ran long, and an intern asked Jerry if he wanted to come back and wrap things up. And Lawler wasn't even sure that he was even going to be back on the show, kind of thing, after he'd just done that. But he agreed to come out. He walked back out to booze by the crowds, because the crowd obviously thinks Jerry Lawler just hit
double turn.
Yeah. And when they came back on live, Andy Kaufman just started like bringing out just like a hell like tirade of like curse words just over and over again. He was just like just saying over again about what Jerry Lawler is. He says, and in the end, he goes, "I don't mean to use those words. I'm sorry, but you're an arsehole." yeah, and Lemon
such an underrated insult, you arsehole.
Yeah, Letterman's letting all this happen, obviously, because it's fantastic for him, really. Because
of course, just, like, ratings and stuff. Everyone's going to be talking about this tomorrow when this comes out.
Yeah, and the segment ends with Kaufman throwing water on Lawler and running off and being a coward and stuff.
Chicken shit babyface. That's weird. Yeah. Chicken shit babyface.
Well, to the crowd, obviously.
I'm saying where he is, it becomes a chicken shit babyface. I don't think there's ever been another one.
Yeah. So security again takes Lawler back to his hotel, making sure he doesn't hit anyone else. But he watched the airing of the show and was amazed that they, even though it was pre-recorded, they showed everything. They showed staff.
There's no way you could have anything like that missing, though.
Yep, they showed the swearing tirade and everything.
What, word for word? And, no bleeping.
Oh no, they bleeped it, obviously. But they kept the fact that he swore in the show.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, like obviously everyone that watched the David Letterman show, obviously not a lot of them would have known about Memphis wrestling or anything like that, or wrestling in general. So they all thought it was real.
I miss when wrestling was portrayed as as real. I miss it.
Yeah,
your innocence goes when you find that it's not.
I miss kayfabe. That's what I miss. Mm-hmm. I miss kayfabe. Yeah. This basically is an art of how to kayfabe. This is how it's done.
Yeah,
it's an art that is no longer in existence, but this was how it was done. Someone from that world to come in and like just pretty much just slot straight in. What's the score? Even though he was a fan, but to know what's the score, know where to go, know how to handle it. It is very, very rare.
Yeah, and you know everything that kind of like happened in that Wells back then when it was kayfabe and everything, like you wouldn't know any different. There was nothing telling you that it was a work or anything like that.
No internet back then.
No, exactly. Well, it was a dirt sheet, but it was like a.
It was a subscription. You had to pay for it.
A literal sheet, probably as well.
Mm. Yeah. So. Andy returns to Memphis, obviously, because they've just done this on the biggest national stage. Like you're gonna get a lot of money from this from your territory. Of course. And Andy Kaufman loved the business so much he would come back week after week. Jimmy Hart became like a manager as well for Andy Kaufman.
To give a man like that and the mouthpiece like that when he didn't need it, it's crazy.
Yep. They had a moment basically where Jerry Lawler burnt Jimmy Hart, and Jimmy was wrapped in bandages like the Invisible Man, and Andy Kaufman just shows up to a show in Arkansas to meet up with Jimmy Hart, and they have a genius idea of putting Kaufman in Jimmy's jacket with his face wrapped up in bandages, so that when Lawler is screwed over. When they unwrap the bandages, it's Andy Kaufman. It's not Jimmy Hart at all.
Yeah, smart.
That's how you get him back. You screw over Lawler, you get the fat crowds ready to riot, and that was Andy Kaufman's introduction back into Memphis wrestling. He put a bounty on Jerry Lawler that he would pay if anyone can hit King with a pile driver, not even win the match, just hit him with a pile driver. They ran handicap matches with Hart and Kaufman versus Lawler that were basically just comedy matches with basically Jimmy Hart taking the ass kicking. There'll be like things where, you know, that like Jimmy Hart and Danny Kaufman would be like, all right, we're both going to attack him at the same time after the count of three. And they go, 1, 2, 3. And then Jimmy Hart would run and Andy Kaufman would stay. And then Lawler would beat the shit out of Jimmy Hart. And then Jimmy would be like, why the hell didn't you run? And then they'd be like, oh, sorry, I'll run next time. All right, 1, 2, 3. And then Jimmy Hart would go again. And yeah.
Is this a bit like what JD McDonagh does at the moment for the Judgment Day? Just takes the beating?
Yes, yeah, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of.
It was like Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. Santino would take the bumps. Kozlov would dish out the whooping.
Yeah.
An old reference, that.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, during these handicap matches, Joey Lawler would win. Andy Kaufman would take more pile drivers over the time he was there. And it would lead into Andy and Jimmy Hart even, like, breaking up and getting into a fight themselves. And yeah, basically, the Andy Kaufman was like everyone's. Jimmy Hart has said himself that he was a joy to work with. That he was like so engaged with the wrestling business and everything around him. And no one has nothing but glowing kind of like praise for Andy Kaufman being around in that time. Andy and Joey Lord develop a close friendship over their love of wrestling over this time, because obviously they're working together and still talking and stuff. They milked basically Andy Kaufman's appearances with Joey Lawler in the territories, not only just in Memphis, but also later on when Joey Lawler would work for the AWA. Anything that any time they needed, like Andy Kaufman to kind of like appear or cut a promo or say something against Lawler, he was always there. But during one interview where Andy Kaufman was there to kind of like cut a heel promo on Lawler, he actually started coughing a few times. He had apologized and he actually let Joey Lawler know then that he was diagnosed with lung cancer. So yeah, Andy Kaufman was still doing shows even though his health was in decline. He was still going after it and helping out Joey Lawler where he could. Andy Kaufman unfortunately passed away at the age of 36 from lung cancer.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So
imagine what he could have done with wrestling if he hadn't died so young.
Exactly. So everyone in like general public kind of thing, in Memphis especially, like the death of Andy Kaufman is I won't say it's happy. Yeah, it's not a sad occurrence. So Jerry Lawler is asked about his death. And he decides to keep kayfabe alive because that's what Andy Kaufman would have wanted.
Yeah,
he mentions that he never liked Andy Kaufman the whole time that he's saying that he's sorry about his death and stuff. He's like, even though we didn't get along, I never liked him. But you know, obviously, I want to move on. I'm not the best person to talk about this. Is basically what Jerry Lawler would say on TV about it.
Not completely and utterly bury him. Just sort of like, don't talk about that clown.
Exactly. And Joey Lawler didn't attend Andy Kaufman's funeral either for that reason. But Lawler did tell the story of meeting Andy Kaufman's parents for the first time during the filming of Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey, who played Andy Kaufman in the movie. Andy's dad told Jerry Lawler that the family hated him for years. Andy never told them what was up. They believe Jerry Lawler actually did try to break his son's neck. And Jimmy Hart even mentions that it was kept secret until it was kept. The whole thing was kept secret about Andy Kaufman and Jerry Lawler's relationship until Jerry Lawler finally admitted that it was all work in his book.
Wow.
Yeah.
When the book come out?
Mid 2000s, I think it was.
Because Kaufman died in 84.
Yeah.
So
good 20 years.
A good 20 years. That's kayfabe, boys. That's kayfabe, that is.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, as I said, that is the story of Andy Kaufman in the wrestling territories and pretty much everything that you could imagine has kind of like been inspired by that. Every celebrity involvement that you see in WWE in a large part is due to Andy Kaufman.
It's because of him. He walked so they could run. Yeah. End of story, that's it.
And you can imagine, like, Vince Senior and even Vince Junior, obviously, like
Vince Junior. If he hadn't died so young, Vince McMahon Junior would have had so much with that. He would have got that, and he would have used it. You know, yeah. He would have got the best out of it too.
Yeah.
When old Vinnie Mac was in Vinnie Mac mode, when he was Mr. McMahon, he would have got so much out of that. Because he would have been in his 40s in the during the Attitude Era. That would have been easier to work.
No,
he died at 36.
In 1984. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 46 and mid 40s. He's splitting hairs now. You've been an arse.
Yeah. But yeah, like you can imagine Vince McMahon Jr. seeing how successful Memphis Wrestling was, 11,000 people. Coming to see Andy Kaufman get his ass kicked.
That's huge for a territory. That's huge.
Yeah,
exactly. So that was what inspired, like, the first WrestleMania. You could even argue with Liberace being there. Mr. T was obviously in the main event. He would come back for WrestleMania 2, and then there'd be celebrity involvement pretty much throughout wrestling. Like Tyson being in WrestleMania.
Cyndi Lauper turning up.
Has there been a WrestleMania moment where there hasn't been a celebrity?
Yeah, there's been plenty of WrestleManias. There's been plenty of WrestleManias where there hasn't been celebrity involvement. Yeah, but any opportunity WWE can get to get a celebrity involved in WrestleMania, they will do. Floyd Mayweather in 24. Yeah, Gronk. Obviously now with Logan Paul and Bad Bunny and all this, you know. If there is a fucking Lawrence Taylor in WrestleMania.
Yes, he wrestled
Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bigelow, yep.
Yeah.
East. Was it Beast from the East? Was that what they called? The Beast from the East?
No. That's Brock Lesnar.
Sure.
The Beast from the East is what we had a couple of years ago.
No, I swear that's what Bam Bam Bigelow was called.
Maybe. I don't know. But that is the story of Andy Kaufman and how a wrestling fan that turned out to be the biggest TV star managed to make his wrestling dream come true.
Yeah.
By intergender wrestling.
Well, he's called him Bam Bam Bigelow, the Beast from the East. Yeah.
All right, cool. All right.
Yeah, fucking recognize, bro.
No worries.
Recognize.
Yeah. And now you got the likes of Logan Paul winning the United States Championship. So
crazy. Yeah. Deservedly, by the way, though. Yeah. Deservedly, yes.
It goes to show how much faith WWE has in him.
Faith. They've got more than faith. They have trust. They have trust because that United States title has been held by some pretty big stars.
Yeah.
I know there's quite a lot of Hall of Famers who've probably held that title. He's holding the same title that John Cena's held. Just to be honest.
But the fact that wrestling fans are seeing it and just going, yeah, he deserves it, just is a testament to how talented Logan Paul is in the ring, not just in the ring, but also as a wrestling performer.
Yeah.
Same as Bad Bunny.
Yep.
I don't think I've seen a reaction to a celebrity wrestler when Bad Bunny was in Puerto Rico. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
No. But and then on the other end of the spectrum, like I've been talking about all episode, you've got Andy Kaufman, who as a wrestling heel just enjoyed the reaction that he
just enjoyed being a shithouse. Yeah. That's what it was. He just loved being a prick.
Basically, just loved it.
That's what Logan was learning, really, now.
Oh, yeah, he's just a massive prick. And you want to hate him because he's good at what he does. He shouldn't be that good. It's the truth. Yeah. He shouldn't be as good as he is. He's beaten someone who is considered one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Hall of Famer as well now.
He cheated to beat that person too and refused to acknowledge that he cheated.
And what I'd like to see now is Logan Paul really kind of like delve into that heel persona, maybe take some things from Andy Kaufman, kind of thing. Say about how he's rich and he's better than you. He will sue everyone, stuff like that.
Do you reckon there's going to be a time where Logan and Dirty Dom will like join together to be a tag team?
Probably not.
No.
I don't think there will be.
No.
They'll probably be like NXT.
If they do something like that, they've got to lose eventually.
Yeah.
And you can, with Dom, you've got Rhea. Oof. So you can you can have Rhea like bail him out of it and stuff, but with Logan, I think if Dom loses, it doesn't hurt him at this current moment. If Logan loses, it's gonna hurt him more than anything.
Yeah.
And Logan like has kind of like moved away from like Rey Mysterio and everything now.
Yeah. He's gonna go on to beat all your favorites, basically. He's gonna go and beat your favorites.
With Rey Mysterio now in the kind of like turn of Santos Escobar and everything, that's distracted him and Logan
Paul. He's had knee surgery as well, hasn't he? He's had actual knee surgery. Yeah. So exactly. He's going to be out Logan... until... I think he'll be out until Mania. He'll probably be out until Mania.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the end of Tales of the Territories. I will look back at that second episode, see where I left off, and I'll go on to whatever territory is next. But Andy Kaufman deserved his own little thing. Andy, just make it Andy Kaufman, wrestling women, suing people, and getting cancer.
No, I'm not putting that. No.
Wrestling women,
kayfabe, pile drivers, and intergender championship. The story of Andy Kaufman. I'm a fucking genius, bruv. I am fucking... Oh, I'm so good.
And that's why you clicked on this title.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. I didn't take the whole episode to figure it out. Yeah, boy.
Thanks for listening, guys.
I hope you enjoyed whatever you were doing during this whole episode.
Yeah.
I was listening.
Just the first half. He treated us as the podcast he puts on while he's doing other things, not realizing he's actually here.
Yeah.
He's like, oh shit, I better get involved. Yes.
Wrestling. Thanks for listening, guys. You can find all previous idol chats and all podcasting platforms. You can find all our main episodes there too. Thank you and peace.